Good morning and welcome as we worship together in a new way. This short service has been prepared by the ministers of the Aberdeen West Cluster Group, and they include Keith Blackwood, Kenneth Petrie, Lorraine LaFontaine, John Ferguson, Fiona Lister, and myself, Shuna Dix. Some of us are here together. John and Fiona have contributed, but they've contributed in a different way, as you will find out. We hope to be able to continue to arrange an online worship service for you every week, but things may change as the weeks go by. And hopefully it won't be too long before we're back in our churches worshipping together. John will now lead us in prayer.
Let's come to God in prayer. There are no words which can fully describe your character and worth, eternal and loving God. No language can encompass the mystery of your power and presence. We struggle for phrases, pictures, and words, but all in vain. You are God, eternally one, the Lord of all creation, loving and forgiving us beyond our imagining. You are the God who created out of nothing, the God who was before time and is beyond time, the God who is present in the distant galaxies and yet also within us and around us. And yet, in Jesus Christ, you became the Word made flesh, a person to be seen and touched and heard. In human weakness, you shared your power and walked the path of life to death. In the dying of your Son, you carry our grief. In the suffering of your Son, you share our burdens. In the rising of your Son, you offer us the joy of a new beginning, even beyond death itself. We rejoice that through Christ we can know that you are a God of love. But Lord, we confess that sometimes we have failed you. Forgive us for times when we've been ashamed of you, or when we've covered up our faith, or when we've kept quiet in the face of injustices when we should be speaking out. Lord, help us to follow Jesus Christ day by day, and especially to do so amidst the dark days that we are going through at this time. We pray that the light of Christ, who is indeed the light of the world, might shine amidst our darkness and our fear and our sadness. For we bring these our prayers to you, in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading and reflections are split into three parts because the compiler of the lectionary chose a long, long reading to consider. So in one sitting, we would certainly lose you all for sure if we didn't do this. So the first section is from John's Gospel at chapter 9 and reading from verses 1 to 12. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man or his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud in the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbours and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." It's often been said that this reading from John's Gospel is set up a bit like a courtroom scene. But it's not quite high court stuff. It's more like Shakespearean comedy. You know the stuff, exaggerated questions, rueful sideways looks, comments to the audience behind the backs of the other actors on stage. It's quite a funny scene, yet it's a reading full of depth, teaching and hopefulness. It's a teaching about light, blindness overcome, spiritual blindness, not being able to see God, his presence, the story of healing, being led to a closer relationship with God, being healed in that. In this first section, let's consider what we're hearing, particularly in the light, or we should say darkness, of our current circumstances. Is not there a great need to consider where the light is just now? And to consider the source of where that light is that we need? Maybe also to recognise that already there are, if we look closely enough, windows of light that break into this darkness. What was it Jesus said? "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Was Jesus lost to the world when he took his last breath on the cross? Could God ever be lost to the world? Would God ever abandon his world? Would God choose to hide himself completely? I hope that you feel that the answer to all of these questions is no. Jesus, not lost, not dead, not defeated, but alive and risen. God, then, now, always, one with and present in our world. It would be easy, and maybe some are already in this position, to develop a sense that God is hard to find in our world at this time. This coronavirus is rampant. It's causing torment and devastation. It's invoking a sense of worry and anxiety, causing human isolation and economic crisis. Dark times. Easy to be blind to any notion that God is in the world, that God's healing, love, his light is available to us. Yet, let me remind you of the glimpses of light already present that suggests that the darkness won't block light out forever. Humanity coming together as one, solving problems communally. Social care for the family, for friends, even for strangers. Acts of human kindness galore, displays of human resourcefulness. These may just be glimpses of light that we're seeing, but recognize that in these rays, we are led to know and feel that the light of God's love is not far away. Let's not remain blind to God's presence. In our response as people to this world pandemic, in the small rays of light, strong enough even to break through this darkness, I see hope. I see the light of the world. Jesus, God, at work in our world, in our very midst. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Do you know, the signs are there. Jesus, God, they are in the world. The light is there.
Continuing with the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter beginning at 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. And they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The religious leaders did not believe he had been blind and had received his sight until he called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now see?" The parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said that because they were afraid of the religious leaders who had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for a second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" The man answered, "I've already told you, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God listens to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do it. He could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And then they drove him out. Here is an astonishing thing. In the midst of being interrogated and enduring the threats of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, the man who is born blind, who begged for his daily needs, who was already experiencing social isolation and alienation, he speaks his truth to power. His truth to power. Can you imagine what it must have, his truth to power? Can you imagine what it must have felt like for him and his parents after a lifetime of being blind and then finally gaining his sight? And instead of celebrating with the man and his family, the religious leaders were caught up in the age-old reality of, this is not how it's done here. The Pharisees are wanting to trip up Jesus. They're threatened by him. They're threatened by the way he builds relationships and that people are healed. They're threatened because he does not do it exactly the way they want him to. And in the midst of their own fear, they miss the miracle. They miss the miracle of the healing. They miss the miracle of social interaction between the man and Jesus. Jesus, the man's life is changed as a result of that encounter. Being able to experience Jesus' healing profoundly changed his life. So what does this man's experience say to us this day? Indeed, we are living in unprecedented times. We are being challenged how to live out our faith. We are changing how we are church together, how that we follow Jesus together. We are spending more time virtually, but having to shift our understanding of what it means to live out the gospel. We are given the opportunity to express the presence of Christ, being Christ's hands, feet, and heart. And indeed, as Keith has mentioned, so much positive is taking place. Communities are coming together. Neighbors are reaching out to neighbors through the mailbox, of course. Teachers are living their lives on the front lines, teaching the students. And now that schools are closed, the teachers at King's Wells, and as I imagine most teachers, are doing their own work, working from home online with the students, but also volunteering to go teach at schools where the children of key people in society, where the children of the NHS workers are, etc. They're there volunteering their time. In many ways, our lives have been put on hold, and it gives us the opportunity to experience the healing that Christ has for each one of us. In the power of relationships, in our families, with our colleagues, it's an opportunity to experience Christ's presence. Mathilde of Magdeburg said that the spiritual awakening was the day I saw and knew I saw God in all things and all things in God. We are invited this day to see how God is working in our lives, to know that God indeed, through the present, through our relationships, are changing our lives and being open to the opportunities that are before us. Amen.
We continue with the story from John's Gospel. Jesus heard that they had driven the man out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do not see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The man Jesus healed had been driven out of the synagogue, driven out by the religious authorities, by those who could not, would not accept that he had been born blind. They wouldn't accept that such a man could be healed, that someone who was blind could now see. Rather than rejoicing at the miracle Jesus had performed, they take their spite out on the man and exclude him from the synagogue. This meant that not only was he unable to attend worship at the synagogue, but that he was also excluded from community life, ostracized, cast out. But there was someone who was willing to be seen with him, someone willing to speak to him, by whom he was still accepted. Jesus. Jesus, when he heard what had happened, went and sought the man out. His intention to reassure him that although the legalism of the Pharisees might have excluded him, still there was a place for him in the all-encompassing love of God. The blind man could now see, and he saw more than the sunshine, or his surroundings, or his friends, or his parents. He saw beyond the merely physical to the reality of who Jesus was, the Son of Man, the Messiah who had come to bring the light of God's love to the world. Jesus asks the man if he's prepared to put his trust in the one who had come to bring God's healing light to the world. He is, and he does. Unlike the Pharisees who cannot see beyond their legalistic approach to faith and are therefore counted amongst the spiritually blind, this rejected and excluded man is welcomed, because not only have his eyes been opened, but his heart has been opened to God's light in Jesus, the one who said, as we've heard, "I am the light of the world." At a time when we're all being excluded from the normal activities of community life, unable to meet in churches for worship as this man could no longer attend the synagogue, unable to meet with family and friends, prevented from going about our everyday life because of this terrible virus that is afflicting the world, we need more than ever the light of God's love in our lives. Like the blind man, we need to meet with Jesus and allow him to bring us the healing light of God, and to be those who share that light with others. We're already seeing the healing light of God's love being shared in the many acts of kindness people are showing towards their neighbours, shopping, making food, keeping in touch with those who may be lonely and isolated. These are the pinpricks of light that will help us through these dark days. The pinpricks of light that will lighten some of the actions that are less than helpful at a time such as this. Light is an important symbol of hope. Light came to the life of the blind man healed by Jesus, and the leaders of the churches in the UK, including Colin Sinclair, the moderator of the Church of Scotland General Assembly, and Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, are inviting us all this evening, Sunday the 22nd of March, to share that light with one another. This is what they've said in a statement just issued this past week. "We have the great privilege and freedom to be able to call upon God wherever we are, individually and corporately, for healing in our nation. We would pray for all in leadership at this time, making decisions about the containment of the COVID-19 virus, for those working in health and social care, and especially for the most vulnerable, whether elderly or those with underlying health conditions." There are already stories being told of wonderful acts of kindness across neighbourhoods. Alongside your prayers, take the opportunity to telephone or email someone who is isolated, buy some additional food for your local food bank, offer to deliver shopping for an elderly neighbour. We may not be able to touch physically, but we can make connections in so many other ways. At 7 p.m. this Sunday, light a candle in the windows of your homes as a visible symbol of the light of life, Jesus Christ, our source and hope in prayer. So this evening, light a candle as a sign of Jesus, the light of the world, and to show that although normal community life is suspended, we are still one with our neighbours at this time. And if you're listening to this service on another day, then you can still join us by lighting a candle as a symbol of our prayers for our nation and people at this time.
We turn now to God in prayer. Our prayer was written by Colin Sinclair, our moderator of the General Assembly. Living God, in our hour of need we turn again to you, for we have nowhere else to turn. We put our faith in you, because you have proved your faithfulness time and again. We reaffirm our love for you, because you have never let us go. We thank you that you are not distant from us, but have drawn near in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has shared our life, tasted our death and defeated it. He understands our worries and our fears. Help us to respond as your children now. We pray for this pandemic spreading across the world, remembering all who have lost loved ones, and praying for those seriously ill at this time. We uphold the National Health Service as it responds to this added pressure on its already overstretched services. We pray for doctors and nurses and all in the caring professions who work to help and support people as best they can. We remember those working behind the scenes, testing samples, confirming results, giving information to patients. We uphold others trying to understand this virus better, working to create an effective remedy. We pray for our governments in Westminster and Holyrood as they work with the best medical advice to guide us on how we should respond and what actions we should take. We pray that these guidelines might be taken seriously and that all would put them into action. May this crisis bring out the best in us, not the worst. Help us to live by faith and not by fear, to build bridges, not barriers, and to resist all who would speak ill of any other group. May we not forget our responsibility to one another, not least to the vulnerable and voiceless in our communities. Help us to find ways of keeping in touch and offering reassurance to those with underlying health issues, for any who feel particularly vulnerable or in danger at present. As the virus spreads, we pray for the disruption it causes to normal life, bringing new fears and anxieties. We pray for those who have been laid off as their work disappears, for financial hardship for individuals and businesses, for the impact on the economy and pensions when austerity has already left its mark. We pray for those whose trips both for business and pleasure have been cancelled, and other events where long anticipated and planned for have been postponed. For those making contingency planning for home-based working or childcare, and for young people facing uncertainty as exams are cancelled and grades will be awarded differently. May our inconvenience not blind us to others' loss. We remember those who cannot visit loved ones in lockdown care homes, for the elderly whose social contacts have been severely curtailed. Help us to find creative ways of keeping in touch, of assuring them they are not forgotten or ignored. May congregations find new ways of living through this time. May we not forget our faith, but draw strength from it. So may our worship be heartfelt, our fellowship deepen, and our service increase. God of grace and God of mercy, hear our prayers at this time. Strengthen us by your Spirit, so that we may carry on our lives as best as we are able, looking out for others, showing love in action, being faithful in prayer, and bringing encouragement, hope, and peace. Always trusting in you, our rock and our Redeemer. These prayers we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We now close our short time together singing hymn 191 in our hymn books. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you.
As we close our devices and return to our lives, may we carry the light of Christ in our hearts, and may God's blessing shine from us as we share his love in any way which we can over the coming week. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask these things. Amen.